Appreciate the kids singing tonight. Aren't you thankful it's under the blood?
Amen.
I read today that a day or two ago, and I'm not here to disparage or run down anybody's beliefs, but the Pope has influence over literally billions of people on this earth. And he made the statement a day or two ago that all religions lead to God and all religions lead to heaven, and that is an absolute lie. There is but one God, and there is but one way to get to Him, and that is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight. Primitive Quartet used to sing a song, "Every hope that I have is in that blood," and it really is tonight. Everything that I am or ever hope to be is all tied up in the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for a no-soul salvation. You run across people and they'll say, "Well, I hope I've done enough." And it ain't about what we've done. It's about what He did. And but if you read John, I love John, and in his gospel and then all through his epistle, that you may know that you have eternal life. And I'm glad that we can know. And if you don't know tonight, I hope that you do know before we leave. I'd ask for you to pray for me tonight. I really didn't come intended to preach, and I really didn't. And Brother Jeff said, "Have you got anything?" And I said, "Well, kind of, but I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't be any more prepared tomorrow night than I am tonight." I do need your prayers. There is a thought. I appreciate those from Lafayette that's came this week. You never know what that means to me. Yeah. Having said that, this is probably something you've heard me preach before. I used to have a teacher that would say, if you finish your test early, just lay your head down on your desk. And so you just feel free to do that, Lafayette, if you need to. But while you're laying there, pray for your pastor. I do have something that it ain't all the time that this happens, but when I preached a few nights ago, as soon as I sat down, and this was before Sister Leanne said what she said, I already knew that when I was called upon here again, this is what I'd be preaching. And I know that lots in this church have went through hard things. And I promise you, I'm not trying to open any wounds tonight.
Amen.
I'm really not. But I know there's probably a few of you that will understand this more than others. And so just bear that in mind. The devil throws everything in the world at you. You don't need to preach that there because of what people's been through. And already tonight, when I said, "I think I could probably preach if you're needing somebody," he already attacks you for that too. So he is an enemy tonight. He's a horrible enemy. But you pray for me. This is going to be strange, very, very strange. I'm going to read in two places, and you might say, that's part of the Christmas story. Well, I don't know about you, but I get as excited about the birth of our Lord in September as I do in December. Because without that, none of this would be possible. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of Luke 2 and a little bit out of Acts 2, just a few verses. And it says, "There were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now here's what I wanted to get to. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." And I could go on, but you know that story, so I'm not going to read it. I want to talk to you not just about the thought of suddenly. Things in this life can happen, and they happen suddenly. Some of you have made mention this week, I believe it was Brother Michael, that we are going to die. And you better just get used to that thought. You're going to die. There ain't no way around that. But everybody that's sitting in this building tonight, they're going to die. And some of you will die suddenly. Some of you will die a different kind of way. Some may go peaceful in the night. The thing about it is, we don't know how it is that we're going to go. But we do know we're going to go. I said unto you the other night that Job made the statement once. He said, "You shall call and I will answer." And you make no mistake about it tonight. There's going to come a day in your life that God is going to call and require your soul, and you will answer that call. He made the statement one time that in a few years I shall go the way of all the earth, and I shall go the way from whence I will not return. And so that prospect is there, and it's true for every last one of us. I thought this week just about the great men of God in the Scriptures, and I thought about Moses, how wonderful of a man of God he was, and how for 40 years of his life he led the Hebrews out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness. But there came a time that God showed him Mount Nebo, and he said, "Moses, come up here." He said, "You're never going to set foot in the land of promise." He said, "You come up here." And the Bible said Moses went up to the top of Mount Pisgah, and there he died. And the Lord buried him there on the top of the mount. But I thought about what that must have been like for all of his people. There were 600,000 men that came out of Egypt, plus women and children. You're talking about probably 2.5 or 3 million people who saw Moses every day. He was the one who went up on top of Sinai and got the law when God came down on a pillar of smoke up on the top of that mountain. He was the one, while all the other 2 or 3 million sat at the base of that mountain and they heard the thunderings of Sinai. It was Moses that was up there with the Lord. Moses that came down with those tables of stone in his hand. It was Moses that his face was shining so bright after talking to God. And it was that same Moses, they watched him ascend up to Mount Nebo and ascend to Pisgah, and he never came back. And suddenly they were there and he was not. I thought about it at different times. I thought about Elijah and Elisha, how that they were so close. And Elijah was a man who called fire down from heaven. Elijah was a man who restored the sick and actually restored life unto those that had died at times. He was a great man of God. And there was Elisha walking right beside of him until there came a time that the Bible says, as they too walk together, all of a sudden and suddenly a chariot of fire came and carried Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, and suddenly Elisha was there by himself. I mean, there are things that happen in this life. You think that you've got all kinds of time, and then suddenly everything's different. I thought about what I just read there, that for 400 years, from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New, there was no prophet, there was no word from God. It was 400 years without a new revelation. But everything changed one night as the shepherds were out in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night, like they had done night after night after night all of their lives. And then suddenly there was a sound from heaven, and suddenly the sky was full. Suddenly there came a message, and suddenly everything changed. Yeah. Suddenly the promised Christ that should come into the world, that promise had been in effect since the Garden of Eden, when the Bible says God told Eve that the seed of you, the seed of the woman, shall crush the head of the serpent. And that promise had been there for 4,000 years. And suddenly it was real. Suddenly a hope was born in Bethlehem. Suddenly a Savior was among men. I thought about how that for 33 years he walked and he talked, and for the last three and a half years of his life he preached. He started his little church. I want you to understand tonight, the church of the living God, she's precious to me. And I mean suddenly up on the top of a mountain. I know there are people that say it was established at different places. There's a guy, Lafayette, that says it this way, and I tend to agree. I'm a mountain man myself. I believe he established her on top of the mountain after being in prayer with the Father. He called his 12 unto him, and there he established his church, and suddenly his bride was in the world. I thought about that as they had to watch him, and they watched him, and they spent 3 years with him every day and every night walking about him and doing the things John said our eyes have seen and our hands have handled of the word of life. I thought about the things they must have seen, but then I thought about on a mount called Golgotha, suddenly he was gone. I thought about what it must have been like for them to look up at the cross. I know it says they left, but at least one came back. John was there, and Mary was there, and I believe there were others there. I don't know who all was there, but I believe a lot that he healed was there. And they looked upon that cross, and when the Lord said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, suddenly he was gone. Just as sudden as he came, suddenly he was gone. I thought about 3 days after that at a garden tomb, and I talked about this the other night. Suddenly the Bible says that he saw no corruption. And now when you and I die, our bodies are going to start to decay. But he had a promise that he would not leave his soul in hell, and neither should his body see corruption. And on the third day, I believe blood began to course through them veins. Emmanuel's veins never collapsed like mine and yours will, but suddenly his heart began to beat. I thought about when his eyes opened that suddenly death has died. What a thought that is tonight. Death has died suddenly, all at once. But I thought there are going to come things in your life and in my life, and we're never going to see them coming. I mean, they're going to be like, it'll be in our wildest dreams. I thought about, you're going to die. Job said, you're going to go to the way you shall not return. In other words, we've got one chance at this tonight, and that's all we've got. It's just one life to live. I know there are those in the world today that believe in reincarnation. I don't believe that tonight. I believe every man's going to face death, and then comes the judgment. And just as suddenly I was born, me and Brad have a birthday the same day next week, September 18th, 1977. Suddenly I came into this world. There's going to come a day where suddenly, just as quick as I came, I'm going to leave. But I thought about, why that don't bother me one bit tonight. Because there was a night when I was a little boy, sitting in a church house. I didn't have a care in the world, but suddenly everything changed. Suddenly I became lost, and it was that quick. It wasn't a gradual thing. I mean, I was fine one minute, and I was lost the next. Suddenly trouble got hold upon me. Suddenly I was trembling. Suddenly I realized I was guilty. Suddenly I realized I was a hell-bound sinner as a little boy. And so just like the sister said, I made my way to the altar. And my friend, I told you this the other night, but I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And really I'd give up till I started to stand up and cried out one more time, "Lord, I want to be saved." And suddenly everything changed. It wasn't a process. Salvation, the new birth, is not a process tonight. It's just like when I came into this world. You know why it's a new birth? Because suddenly something was in this world that was not here just a minute before. It was a sudden thing. And all I know tonight is that there was trouble and suddenly that was gone. I've heard people say they walked in the backs of the pews. I've heard people say that, and I don't doubt them. I've heard people say the sun was brighter and the grass was greener and everybody looked different. It wasn't like that for me. But suddenly everything changed that quick. And so tonight there are things that will suddenly come upon you. And maybe it'll be death that suddenly comes upon you. I've thought about this week. I've preached once at Lafayette about this. There's a last time for everything. We have one last journey. And the thing about that tonight, sinner friend and church member, is you don't know when that time's going to be. You don't know, but there is going to come a time where you're going to kiss your mama or your daddy one last time, and you'll never know it when that happens unless they've been languishing sick. You're going to tell them you love them one last time. And my friend, as a parent, there's going to come a time you bow your head, tuck your kid in at night, and either they're going to move off and get married or they're going to go to their long home, but there will be one last time. Yeah. You think about that. Husbands and wives that let pride cause divorce. I'm telling you, there's going to be one last time you look over at your bride and you tell her, I love you. As a bride, there's going to be one last time you look at that man who's taken care of you and provided for your family, and there's going to be one last time. And then that's it. And you never know when that last time is going to be. You see why I really, in a sense, dreaded preaching. I know there are people in this church who have lived this life tonight. One last time. And you think, what I would give just to have one more time. Just one more time. My friend, let me be honest with you tonight. And if you're lost, you especially listen to me. There's going to be one last time that you ever set foot in the house of God. A saved person, if you've never joined the church, whatever it is that you need to do, there's going to be one time, like every other time in your life, you're going to walk in those doors and you're going to sit on that pew and the songs are going to sing and your pastor's going to preach and give the invitation, and then you're going to stand and sing a song and go out that door one last time. I'm telling you tonight, we don't need to be playing games with this. There is one last time that's appointed to every last man, woman, and child in here tonight. One last time appointed to every man, woman, and child in the world tonight. There is a last journey that we're all going to take. You say, preacher, I'm not ready. I got news for you tonight. It doesn't matter if you're ready or if you're not ready. I got news for you tonight. How is it with you? Do you have a last will and testament, or is your business going to be left in shambles? Either way, it does not matter. The Bible says that there are bounds of our habitation, and we will never set foot beyond that bound. In other words, God in eternity past has already drew a line in the sand, and I nor you will set one toe over that line. He knows your appointed time, but I don't. And you don't. And so there's going to be a last time. And it doesn't matter. I've seen people and heard of people in hospitals. How can you bear to let your loved one go? How can you bear to say goodbye to them? How can you bear through tear-filled eyes? But the fact of it is, it does not matter. You must go. I thought about it one last time that happened one night in the scripture, and it's preached every revival. But in Luke chapter number 16, there was a beggar named Lazarus that begged one last time. There was a beggar named Lazarus that went to bed hungry one last time. There was a beggar named Lazarus who sat at the rich man's gate one last time. And there was a rich man who passed by that beggar one last time. The rich man fared sumptuously, dressed in fine linen and purple every day, and he passed by Lazarus one last time. For the Bible declares that in the same night they died. They died. And it says the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. You ever think about that? I know a lot of the time we focus on the rich man. You understand what that must have been like for Lazarus? Can you imagine, brother? This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I told you that. It really is. When God called me to preach, it was the hardest words I ever said out of my mouth, that the Lord has called me to preach, because I knew once that word got out, once I'd said it, I could never take it back. And from then to the end of my days, I would be a man of God. I don't know if you know that. I'm not preaching for preachers tonight, but I'll tell you this. You pray for your pastor. You have no idea what it's like. You have no idea what it's like to read Hebrews and realize, obey them that have the rule over you, and that watch for your souls as them that shall give an account. You have no idea what pressure that is. You have no idea what it's like. You have no idea what it's like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of us, suddenly your eyes pop open. Suddenly you're concerned about your loss. Suddenly you have a burden. Suddenly you can't go back to sleep. Suddenly you shake your wife awake. Suddenly both of you are there in bed awake. Suddenly, my friend. But you know what? I love it, because that's what he called me to do. But I will say this, there's a lot of hurt that goes with it. There's a lot of pain that comes with it. And I'm not complaining. I hope and pray you don't take it that way. I said that to say this. There's going to come a day I walk in Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church one last time. I appreciate you letting me come here at Hilltop. This, I don't know how long these meetings are going to go on. I'm here as long as you want me. But there will come a day, whether it's this week or next, that meeting will be over. I might never get to preach here again. I hope I do. I've enjoyed myself. But in other words, you're going to look up on my face one last time. There's going to come a day, my friend, just like Lazarus sitting at that rich man's gate, that the Lord is going to call me home. There's going to come a day I will have opened and read and preached and closed the book one last time. There will be a day that whether I'm ready or not, it'll be the last time. And I have no idea if that last time is now, if that last time will be Sunday morning, if that last time will be next week or next year, next month, 10 years from now. But I do know this, there will come a day, just like Lazarus, that it won't hurt anymore. I don't know about you. This body has been kind of rough. I've got 5 stents in my heart, 2 rods in my back, and it hurts. Not a day goes by that I'm not in pain and I'm not complaining. I don't want your pity. I want you to know that I'm in no hurry. There is a part of me on the inside where God resides that yearns for that day. Amen. Because I know that day there will be no more sorrow. The rich man that also died that night, the Bible says in hell, it actually says he was buried. There's a lot of people, most people in this life, I think you live and you die and it's over. My friend, he was buried. And after he was buried, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know what that is? It's descriptive talk. I mean, it's almost like he opened up his eyes. He laid down at night, rich, fair, and sumptuously every day. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, he opened up his eyes. He began to look around. He began to take in his surroundings. My friend, suddenly, he realized he was in hell. Suddenly. You know, I think probably one of the worst things, the scripture declares that, you know, in heaven, in the abode of God, that the sun, that there'll actually be no more sun, moon, or stars. It said that God himself and the Lamb is allowed of that great city. I don't believe we're ever going to see a night, but in hell, we're going to live outside of time. We're going to step out of time and into eternity, and the ages are going to roll on and on and on. But you know what it says in hell? That day nor night, they have no rest. Day and night, that the smoke of their torment ascends up forever. In other words, in here in America today, when there's a criminal that trespasses, that breaks the law, they have a court system, and I'm thankful that we do, but then they have an appeals court, an appellate court, and their case stays tied up in court year after year after year after year, and their sentence is pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. My friend in hell, there is no appellate court. There is no greater court to appeal to. Once you're there, you're there. And there's going to come in time, there will be a sense of realization upon every soul that's there. I'm here. I'm never getting out. There's no hope. And my friend, I preached the other night that when you have no hope, you have nothing. If there could be even the slightest bit of hope, that there was even a slightest bit of chance that you would ever get out of hellfire, you could probably endure it. But at some point, the finality of that will settle over your soul that there is no end to this. It's torment day and night, forever and ever. My friend, there is going to be a last time for you. You're going to go to bed one last time. You're going to go to work one last time. You're going to go to school one last time. There's going to be one last altar call, one last man of God that preaches you the gospel to repent lest you die lost and go to hell. There's going to be one last time that God will deal with your heart. One last time. One last time. It's just of his sheer mercy that he does it at all. It's just of his sheer goodness that he leads us to repentance at all. But there will be a point when one last time. There's coming a last time for every last one of us. There's going to come a time when, according to the word of God, that an angel's going to come forth from heaven, set one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea. And he's going to declare in that day, there shall be time no more. And everything we know is going to be burned up. The elements, it says, are going to melt with the fervent heat. And the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. There's going to be one last time. As the brother said the other night, there's going to be one last war. And I'll be honest, I'm not so sure we ain't entered into that war already. There's going to be one last war upon this earth. And my friend, the Bible says a rider on a white horse is going to come. And my friend, conquering and to conquer. And then a black horse is going to come. And he's going to set this world in war. I mean, nation against nation. The war of all wars is coming to this earth. After that black horse is a red horse, and people are going to die from hunger. And after that red horse comes a pale horse, and death follows with him. I'm telling you what's the truth tonight. This ain't a fable. It's not a fairy tale. And you say, preacher, I'm lost. I'm not ready. It doesn't matter in that day. You must go. Preacher, I'm not finished. There are things I wanted to do in this life. I wanted to travel with my bride. We had plans. We had a future. I'm sorry to break your heart tonight. It doesn't matter. You must go in that day. One last time. What I mean to tell you tonight is don't let one day go to waste. If you're lost and undone, if you're lost without God and you know you're lost without God, my friend, one last time, you're going to have the opportunity to get right. One last time, you're going to have the opportunity to repent, to believe. One last time. Well, preacher, church, we've got it in our heads. Well, if they don't get it tonight, they'll get a next revival. If they don't get it tonight, they'll get it a few months from now. I'm telling you, maybe they will. Maybe their last time's now. Lost sinner, one last time's coming for you. Church, one last time's coming for you. There's going to be one last time that God is going to roll across your heart and say, stand and do this for me. One last time, he's going to knock upon your heart to give your testimony. One last time, he's going to move upon you to do something so easy for him. Just to stand and say, thank you for saving my soul. It's not real hard to do that. And my friend, one last time, that's going to come upon you. And out into eternity, you'll be. One last time. Things seem so important to us at times. I got news for you. Most of it ain't important at all. Most of it really ain't. Husbands and wives go to bed angry at each other, never in their wildest dreams realizing one last time one of them ain't waking up in the morning. One last time. You listen to me. Suddenly is exactly what it means. Suddenly, your world is turned upside down. Suddenly, the things that used to matter so much, suddenly none of that matters at all. Suddenly, it's coming for all of us. We say, and I know deep down we as Bible-believing, saved, born-again believers know that we should say, if God wills, we shall do this and do that. Deep down we know that. I don't believe we practice it like we ought to, because suddenly it's for everybody but you. Suddenly it'll happen to you. I'm not going to dwell on this because my wife doesn't like me to talk about it much. There came a day in my life like every other day. I felt fine. Suddenly, I was flat on my back in a helicopter dying that quick. Ate supper, went out to mow the yard, had a heart attack. Suddenly, everything changed. And the next thing I remember, as them gathered round about me, and we had a prayer as they loaded me on that helicopter. We had a prayer. Suddenly, life was leaving this body. It was sort of a mixed emotion. I loved my wife. I didn't want to leave her. I didn't want to leave her. But you know what? Suddenly, I realized where I was going. And suddenly, I wasn't afraid. I remember hearing them ask the pilot, there's work on me in the back. I remember him asking the pilot how much further he's going. And suddenly, a great calm came over me. And I was able to roll my head to my left, and I saw the lights of Nashville. And I knew it was close. But I've thought about that a lot, and I don't really know if it was the lights of Nashville or the lights of home. Let me tell you something. I preached before that night. I'd always preached that in the hour of death, a child of God wouldn't care. I lived it that night. There is dying grace. Suddenly, I was okay. Aren't you thankful tonight? Listen. That's something that was supposed to happen to old men. I was 35 years old. 35. Suddenly, it didn't matter. Preacher, I'm a teenager. Suddenly, it won't matter of that. Suddenly, we'll come for you just like the old timers. I'll tell you something else. I'll be 47 if I live a few more days. I remember the days of my youth, fishing every day, scared mom and dad. There was no cell phones. We'd take out, me and Brother Jeremy Oakley, take out in the morning at sunrise. And we're supposed to be back by dark. We never was. Where we went, you couldn't get a car to. They'd come looking for us on tractors late at night after dark, wondering, hollering, wondering about their boys. We didn't care. I mean, we didn't pay much attention to mom and dad, and I am ashamed of that. I really am. We was having the time of our life. I looked in the mirror today, brother. Suddenly I ain't young no more. Suddenly there are wrinkles there that wasn't there just last week. Suddenly happens quick. Brother, ain't no way I should be 47 next week. Because up here, I'm still in my 20s. My body tells me different. Suddenly is coming. And one last time is coming. And one last time is going to come and go, and if you don't do anything about it, you will lift up your eyes in hellfire for me. One last time means something altogether different. You realize I'm going to a place where faith will end. I hope you've not thought bad of me this week. It's hard for me. My back don't bend with them rods. It's hard for me to get down and stay down very long. And I stand up and pray, sit up and pray. One last time I'm going to kneel this broken body. One last time. And struggle to get to my feet. One last time. And where I'm going, there won't be no more praying. There'll be praise. Faith will end in sight. Glory to God. Amen. One last time. We was in revival at Lafayette about a month ago. Sunday morning of that revival, I'll just be honest with you. I've been in some places and times where the Lord's passed by. Brother, I never, ever seen anything and felt anything like that. My wife had to bring me nitroglycerin up. I mean, I was down. But I'm telling you, I thought, boy, if it's that good down here, what in the world's waiting on us there? One last time I'll go to bed. Talk to this brother a lot. He understands me like a lot of preachers don't. I can tell him things I wouldn't dare dream of telling any other preacher. I'd be too ashamed to. Abraham offered a sacrifice one time, and he offered it unto the Lord, and then he waited, and he waited, and he waited. You offer things up to the Lord, and you do your very best. Abraham did everything God told him to do, and you know what happened? God didn't show up. Instead, the buzzards came down and tried to devour everything he had done for God. I told this brother one time, I said, brother, I'll preach. And I'll go home, and them buzzards will come after me. I've tried my best to do what God's asked me. Tried my best to do it. And here come the buzzards. Monday mornings, I'll text you, brother, the buzzards, are they with you? I'll help you beat them back. Would you help me fight them things off? One last time, I'll beat them things back. And into glory I'll go. They ain't going there. One last time. Suddenly, everything's going to change. Suddenly, your loved one won't be sick. I've been in the hospital of people that I left. Brother Tim's here. I went in the hospital and his daddy lay dying. I knew he was dying. He knew he was dying. Everybody knew he was dying. I just said, Brother Don, I'm going to pray that grace is going to come. I loved him. I'd be preaching at Lafayette, and he'd sit in the amen corner, and I'd hear his faint little voice say, preach it, brother, preach it. Yeah, amen. And I watched him lay there one last time. I watched him struggle to walk. My mom had a stroke a year or so ago. She's like him on a walker. One last time, I'm going to watch her make that journey. And one last time, and then the next time, it'll all be different. One last time. Listen to me tonight. You say, this is for the lost. Maybe. Maybe it's for you. Is there something you need to do and you know that you need to do it? Maybe you just need to tell somebody you love them. Maybe you just need to tell them that. Maybe God has stirred you up in such a way to go to somebody to stand up and thank this church for being a mother to you.
Amen.
Or thank God for leaving such a witness as his church.
Yeah.
One last time. There's going to be a last amen. There's going to be a last hallelujah. There's going to be one last prayer, and we are gone for good.
Amen.
He shall call, and I will answer.
Amen.
There's a lot of phone calls I get, and I'll be honest, I dread answering them. So, preach, you ought not be like that. Well, I ain't saying you're wrong. But there's people call me that never call me with anything good. I see their caller ID and I think, what in the world has happened now? It seems they ain't never had a good day in their life. And I dread answering that call. Brother, there's going to be a call come one day. When he calls my name, yeah, Lord, I'll answer that. Because of what happened to me about right here a long time ago. Suddenly everything was different. Do you have a suddenly in your life? I've seen people that I've been saved. They ain't never been a change. Paul said, I stand in doubt of you. Something happened to me right there. Suddenly, that quick. It's still there tonight. And I'm going to go to the way. Thank God I shall never return here. The writer of Hebrews said Abraham had opportunity when God called him out of that pagan land. He had opportunity to return, but he didn't. I don't know about you. Once God saved me out of this world, I have no desire to return to that filth. I'm not a sow washed in her own wallowing and washed in the mire and returning to her, wallowing in the mire, a dog returning to its vomit. Once I got out, I never wanted to go back.
Amen.
It's far better over here. I'm eating the good of the land, waiting for that call. As much as I love to preach and pastor, and I do, I hope nobody ever thinks bad. I don't mean it the way it probably came out. I'm bad when it comes to things like this. God called me to do it. My heart's in it.
Amen.
I'm thankful for evangelists. We need good evangelists that go preaching the gospel. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. There's a lot of hurt that comes with it. It's a hurt. I told somebody the other day, just been called a pastor. I said, brother, you're going to hurt like you ain't never hurt in your life. But then there are other times when you see them come running and kneel down and jump up saved, stand and hear them give their account and their testimony. It'll be a joy that you've never had in your life. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. But there's going to come one day, I'll preach my last, I'll close my book. Where I'm going, my friend, that word is forever settled in heaven. I'm going to look upon the one that called. You ever think, and I'm done. But you ever think about what that must be like? Whether it's now, I've been preaching since 1998, 26 years. 26 years. Hope I get 26 more. If I don't, I'll take what the Lord will let me have. But I firmly believe, just as that beggar named Lazarus, there's going to come a day I'll be sitting in my study, laying in my bed, maybe standing in the pool. Wouldn't that be a grand way to go, preachers? I don't know of a place I'd rather meet him than preaching about his darling son. But there will come a day for me and every born-again believer that somebody's going to come into your room and he'll say, brother, do you want to go meet the one you've preached about all these years? Do you want to go meet the one that saved your soul? Do you want to go meet that rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley? I'll take you to him. And out of here I'll be. One last time. But the thing is, you never know when that's going to be. If you know it might make it, I don't think I'd want to know. I think I'll just, there. Enoch had a testimony that he loved God. And the Bible said he walked with God and one day he was not, for God took him.
Amen.
It's almost like God said, Enoch, as they were walking, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Let's just, why don't you come home with me? That's the way it'll be. One day Benji will be here, and then Benji was not, for God took him. Thankful. This pain of life will not endure forever. One last time. Suddenly, everything's going to be different. One way or another, heaven or hell, suddenly, all that'll matter. Have you been saved? Have you done what God's asked you to do? Suddenly happens to everybody but you until suddenly it happens to you. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Come ahead with a song, whatever you need to do.